Okay, today's daf is daf Ayin Beis, gentlemen, and you arrived at where? Beep, 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 beep.
We just got to the top.
I mean, you can't get to the top because it's Hebrew Seba. You must have gotten to my time alone model on the bottom.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do that. Okay. Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. So, okay, we learned yesterday that for some reason that there were all of the period during the time of the Midbar, the Bnei Yisrael did not do Mila. They needed to do Mila when they came in now to Eretz Yisrael and Gilgal. Asks the Gemara today, Uba Midbar, my time alone, Mohu, what was the reason not to do Mila during the Midbar? Possibly because the travel alone creates a certain sense of weakness when you're on the road, and therefore is dangerous for recovery and so on. Because they had bad weather the whole time that they were in the Midbar for 40 years, and during those 40 years, the Ruach Tzonit, which is the Ruach that cools things off and makes everything just nice and sweet and blows away the moisture, the clouds, and so on, just everything would be perfect. And because of the fact that they were in Nidui during those 40 years, they had lousy weather. They didn't have any Ruach Tzonit, meaning Ruach Tzonit on its own. Otherwise, it's Menashevet with all the other Ruchot. The Tanya, Kolotan Arba'im Shana, Shayu Yisrael Bamidbar, Lona Shvalahem Ruach Tzifonit. My time, it could be because they were in a state of Nezufim. After all, they had done, Tosfos says, it can't be what Rashi says. Rashi says they had done the Egel Azov. But after all, the Egel Azov was over already. God had already been with them from Kippur. And Tosfos brings over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Salachti Kidvarecha, which he never said. It's the same thing that we have all the time. It's Salachti, we mentioned this before. The one to speak out was, we learn it out from Lysa and Meraglim. But it's interesting that the Rashi says it's because of the Ego, Tosfos says it's because of the Lysa Meraglim, which makes more sense. Unless you learn that the idea of the Salachti on the Lysa Ego was obviously only conditional in a sense, it would be on Pakita Pakadati. So it means wherever there is a Pakita, it would be part of the Pakita of the Ego. Which means that when there was a Pakita for the Maisa Meraglim, it was tied originally back to the Maisa Egel, just as it is today. We start Shavasa Batamas, the Maisa Egel. We go on to Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks. So therefore, says Rashi, we're in the Zufi because of the Maisa Egel. Brilliant.
Isn't the Meraglim enough?
Sorry?
Isn't the Meraglim enough reason for them to be in the Zufi?
But you go to the Mukor of the Nazifa. It's a director for the affront. It's much more powerful in terms of the Maisa Egel. No? Or another reason, maybe we couldn't have the Ruach Tzvanit because one of the things that the Ruach Tzvanit does is blows away clouds. And after all, we were all into clouds during the time of the Midbar. We needed the Anani Akavod. It's interesting. There's a Meshechachla, and also he speaks it out. He brings various writers of wonderful Mordechai Breuer, and that there's an Inyan over here that they required a new Mila and Tefillah also been of Geirus. Because the rejection of Kabbalat HaTorah, and that ties into Rashi, and the Zufi know you, that the fact is God wasn't accepting them completely as Jewish. That's the way that they had. Like we got by a guy that's immediately Faisal Asura and so on. So there needed to be a new Geirut. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu was Geirem Lakach, not to be overly insulting, you know, otherwise they would feel like the Ethiopians, you know. Not to be overly insulting, so it was Geirem, they shouldn't have the right kind of weather, that they shouldn't do Mila. And because of that, they needed to do the Mila Shinit. Omar of Papa, Hilkach, we see from here that Yuma de Iva, if you have a day that's a cloudy day, well, you have a Yuma de Shuta, you have one of those awful weather days where the wind is blowing out of the south and it's heavy on the ions and everybody is just disgusted with the weather. Lo Malinan Bay, you do not do Brit Mila on a day like that. But Lo Mesuchrinan Bay, you don't let blood on a day like that. However, ha'inna the dashu barabim shomer tzayim Hashem. Nowadays, that people, you know, they're just not sensitive to the weather anymore. So, okay, look, you know. Again, this is part of the old shaila. Does that mean you have a right to shomer tzayim Hashem? Does it mean you have a chiyuv shomer tzayim Hashem? We had the same question about contraceptions. Do you have a right or a chiyuv not to use contraception because, you know, trust in the good Lord? Or do you have a right to say trust in the good Lord? You might say here too, in the book of Yosef, brings that if somebody says, look, I don't want to give a brit to my son on a day of lousy weather, then he's certainly 100% correct to do so, not to give a brit to his mother. Not only that, I mean, others that suggest that when it comes to Bidecha Shabbos, why Bidecha Shabbos with a brit meal? Because of Shemer Tzayim Hashem, don't Bidecha Shabbos, the weather is bad. So don't be Derech Shabbos until the meal tomorrow. Anyway, it's not a right time to be, because you have to be so smart to be Derech Shabbos. Lemaisa, we all know. Nobody does it. But it's interesting that that's part of the same type of questions that we find all the time, how to understand Dosh Be Rabim.
What was the concept of Milosh Shem?
What's that?
You said yeah. What is that?
What do you mean?
You said
learned that yesterday. Word. What are you saying?
Sure.
Yeah. You had the Gemara yesterday about the Shav Mal Yisrael Sheni. That was the question. What was that? Unless did you not do that? Maybe you do it. Maybe we better redo it.
Can I ask you on the clouds?
The clouds? Yeah, not the Yakovic clouds.
We have the
regular clouds.
Isn't the weather perfect? Is that part of the Yakovic?
No, it's interesting. The Yuma De'iva that we're talking about over here is a Yuma De'iva, not of that type of Anan. It's a Yuma De'iva Kula Shimshin. That's why you can't bake matzahs in Yuma De'iva, unless you cover the windows. You can't bake matzahs in direct light of the sun. So the halacha is you can't bake matzot even not in the direct light of the sun if the atmosphere is completely clouded over and the light is reflected back off the clouds and basically is coming from all directions at once. So that's another, you're not supposed to, it's also a concept of Kodesh. It's not good for the exposure of the wound and so on, for healing. What do you have now?
I met an old Russian Jew, telling if he was involved in the 1920s, in a communist thing. That he was with the last chief rabbi of Moscow, the last chief rabbi of Moscow, went to Trotsky for permission to make matzahs. And the Trotsky said, you know, the whole 40 years in the desert, the Jews didn't do a bris. He was a Jew. I mean, they didn't do bris mila because when Lord Nashua wrote Tzoni, he says, the wings aren't right.
Wow, what a story. It's unbelievable. This you're going to keep from us, this mice? This is a brilliant story. Amazing. It's absolutely a beautiful story.
You didn't get permission?
Did not get permission?
No, the wind is
right.
It's the winds of war. Interesting. All righty. Wow. All right. Tana Rabbani. Kol ha'tam arba'im shana sh'ayu Yisro b'midbar lo ha'yom sh'lo nashbar ruach tzonit b'chatzi alayim. You should know that even the worst of circumstances, in other words, it's not only those 40 years, but even during those 40 years when we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mocking that there shouldn't be Neshivas Ruach Tzvanis during the day, but precisely at midnight there was always some Ruach Tzvanis. Shenema, that of course was Dovin HaMelech Simon of the Kinor. So that was, it says, Vahiba Chatzi HaLayla, Vashem Yika Ko Bechor. Huh? What does that say about Ruach Tzvanis? My Tamar, no. The idea is, a Kamashman, the Eit Ratzon, it's telling us that, look, that means that Vahiba Chatzi HaLayla is Eit Ratzon, that an Eit Ratzon is Miltei. When you find that there's a Hanhaga of particular Ratzon, then that extends across the board. It's truly a time of particular Eit Ratzon. If we find that Chatzi HaLayla is viewed as an Eit Ratzon again and again, then it's true also that even when they would have been Benidu, even a Zifa, but at that moment, the relationship would have been whole. It's a beautiful Ishbitzer. I mean, it's in a sense, it's a double portion, but he's Masbechad on this Gemara. That people often sense in their lives a particular Eisratzon where all of a sudden their minds are clearer and their hearts are clearer and so on. And he says, that's the Inyan, Kamashman, that Eisratzon is Miltei. So that means that you shouldn't just take it like, yeah, it just happened, you know, I'm feeling different. It's not that. And that you have to use that time to be Koveya in yourself. That sense that you had to make it part of your basal metabolism, so to speak. This becomes the way that I am. And it's mechayev tefillah and thought and defining and so on. So he also connects it to the psukim talking about b'chayev shem es ratzon in the Baruch Chatzdecha. But also that the pasuk that he uses is Amar Ravuna, Dvar Torah mashuch ochel b'truma. Now, halacha is that a person who is a mashuch, which means that the flesh of the penis has now become elongated around the atara, so it looks like an aura. And the Romans used to actually force the Jews to turn themselves into arelim. This was a story in Beitar, we'll see later on. So they would fasten these rings around the penis to force the skin up and became permanently as if they were arelim, though they weren't really arelim. Stop it. Oh, there was a movie in which someone was trying to hide from the Nazi, made himself. They were using stitches. But anyway, so if somebody who is mashuch in that way, So he requires Nila min Rabban and says, Ravuna b'nidiyoraita, he says, it's not really Orha Orla, it looks like an Orla. Says the Gemara, but Meisve, Mashuk Shatzarev Shiyimo, says over here that he needs Mila. Well, of course he needs Mila. I said, Midivrayim Gazra Allah, that's min Rabbanan. I said, what are you asking? The Kari Lamai Kari Lamai, what's the matter? You can't read? Atzorich Katani. I mean, if the guy was an Oral, one said, he needs Mila. He's an Oral. I mean, to say that he needs Mila means that we've added a Chiyav that he should be Mimo, right? He misunderstood something. If you look at the continuation of this, you'll see what led him to think that Tzorich was Labdavka. Because he was Katoy B'Seifa. He made a mistake about the continuation. It continues like this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yimo, Mitnesha Sakana Hilo. This is ridiculous. To be Machayev, a guy to do Mila, who's going to be cutting off skin from the actual penis, is insane. But it's dangerous. What if he can end up apostling himself and make himself a Krushavcha and so on? Omrulo, so they told him, Alohar Beimalubi Meben Kuziva. This was like common during the time of Bar Kokhba, where the Romans had messed everyone up in Beitar. And we never heard of any problems. And in fact, there's a pasuk that indicates that that's true. Himo yimo. What's that? Himo yimo. No, chiyach to chiyach. You could do it twice, but himo yimo, you could do it twice. You see from here, afilu ne'arpamim. So in other words, if the or becomes similar to an or orla, so then cut it off again. So what are you arguing? Yeah. Furthermore,
himo yimo becomes
again. Himo, yeah.
Huh? A requirement.
Well, that was his mistake. As we'll see. So himo yimo, afilu ne'arpamim. And furthermore, it says et briti this. Additional oral zachar asher lo yimo et briti efar. Of course, et briti efar. That's the definition of asher lo yimo. So et briti efar is coming to add something. L'rabot et ha-mashuch. Even somebody who was nimo, if he becomes mashuch, he requires mila. Why do you need that second possible? Himo yimo sounded pretty persuasive to me. Ma'iva omer v'chitem ha-yamo yimo is l'rabot tzitzit ha-me'akinat ha-mila. Maybe he'll say, go back, do it as often as you have to do it until you finally manage your lousy mile. So you finally manage to get off all of the pieces of skin that are marked as a mila, but doesn't mean that you'd have to do mila on a mashuch. Tashma et briti efar the rabot et mashuch. Anyway, his mistake was the one who asked the question. Ravuna, who savar mirkanosiv lo hashas. This is obviously an error, and indeed in the old shas it does not say shas because this is not a shas. This is a bright. So clearly, as the Rashash points out, it should have said, Midunosiv la Talmuda, since a pasuk was brought to somebody, somebody was writing for the printer, thought that Talmuda means the Talmud, and wrote in Shas. So Midunosiv la Talmuda, since a pasuk was brought in the Braita, so then they crossed the Oraisi, it must be the Oraisa. And therefore he said, look, it says over here, Tzorach Shiyimo, and we bring a raya from a pasuk, Valoi, but of course, it never meant that it was a diorite. It was only Mirabbanan. Vikroes makta bi'alma, and therefore there's nothing wrong with Ravuna saying a diorite can eat. Mirabbanan, he needs meal. Meisei. Tumtum in ochel betruma. Now, a tumtum cannot eat truma, okay, because, I mean, he can't eat truma because we don't know. He may be a male. If he's a male, then he's certainly an oral. Nobody did any meal on him. So because of that, he can't eat. However, his wife, which is a little strange, I mean, he may not be a male, but... So we're going to get to that. We're going to discuss about that. But his wife and his avodim can eat truma. We'll talk about this. Mashuch, this is the part that interests us the most. Mashuch, someone who is mashuch after having had a brit milah. Minolad kishul bahul, or he was born mohu, but nothing else was done in terms of a tafatam brit or anything. Harei elohachli, these guys are allowed to eat truma. And androgynous, if he was on his male organs, Nemo, so he can be Ochel Betruma, the monarcha. I mean, if he's a female, so he's eating because he's a Kohenes. Or at least she is. But if he's a male, so he's a mole, so there's no problem. He's a Kohen himself. But he can't eat Kachim, because only Zichrei Kahuna can eat Kachim. Maybe he's not, it doesn't have a din of a Zakar. And now, the great Brisa says something that sounds very repetitious. We're going to have to explain it in the Gemara. Tumtum continues the Brisa, in Ochel, lo betruma velo bekachim. It's a repetition. The Tumtum himself does not eat Truma, does not eat Kachim. Anyway, so first of all, the part that's important to us. Tani miyad. Mashuch, v'nolat kishul mahul, harei elo achlin. It says clearly over here that they do eat Truma. Tiyufta, Ravuna, Tiyufta. There's no way Ravuna can explain that away. It says over here that they're eifling in the Truma. Now, Ravuna said, It's only Dvar Torah is Ochol B'Truma, and Rabban is not allowed to eat Truma. Now, Lamaisa, Rashi does not like this Girsa. There's a different Girsa. The reason Rashi doesn't like this Girsa, despite the fact that the Rambam doesn't like this Girsa, Rashi doesn't like, namely, according to this, there's no Isser B'Chol, not even the Rabban. That's what the Gemara is assuming. It's strange. I mean, why not say that it means the Rabban? So the Rambam paskins indeed that there's no Isser. Says Rashi, but the sugya right on the bottom of the page, we're going to say he takes for granted. There's definitely some Isser. There's only questions if he writes it to Rabban, but nobody says that it's a mutter. So therefore, he buys in to another Girsa that says Misayale Ravuna, which Tosus also brings as a possibility. And the meaning over here would be that we take for granted that the way that we're discussing this is only in the Rabbona. And that we see from the Tzarachim also. This is an ongoing explanation of that idea. Okay, in any event. So either we have a riot of Ravuna bin Rabbona and only in Atmid Raisa, or we have a riot. There's Bechalal no Issa, but certainly there's no Issa to your Raisa here. Oh, my mom. But getting back to that, boy, did you confuse me about that business with a tumtum with a wife. Tumtum can't eat truma because he may be a male, and if he's a male, he's an oro. But his wife and his avodim, okay, his avodim, I understand, because anyone who is ofel is able to be makal avodim, okay? So we have the additional kinyan kaspo, but nashav, I understand. How does a tumtum have a wife? Nashav la tumtum, minole. A cartoon character. So, Ilema, maybe he married Barbie. Ilema, the Kaddish, tell me, went ahead, and he gave Kiddushin to a woman, and it does say in the Braisa, Tumtum was Mekadesh, Kiddushav Kiddushin, which means, of course, Lechumra, that we have to suspect that his Kiddushin may be Kiddushin, in which case all of the Arayas that follow as a result of the marriage would be Isurim. So, for that, it's certainly important to know whether it's Kiddushin or Kiddushin. And not only that, if he accepts Kiddushin, the Kiddushin is Kiddushin. So he accepts Kiddushin from a male, because he may be a female. So it has to be Machmir, that his Kiddushin is Kiddushin again, in terms of all of the Arayas. Right? So now whatever it would be an Erva because of marriage to him, that would now be a problem. Yeah, but come on. I mean, that's only that we're choshish for Kiddushin. Obviously, it doesn't mean that he's 100% Kiddushin. We don't know his sex. How can we be 100% Kiddushin not knowing his sex, depending on who his partner is? But, I mean, over here, you're trying to say that he should go marry a woman, and she can eat truma, which is a Dishini Raisa, and Lakula, you'll be Sebechana that he's a male? That's crazy. So, even Yama Lakhumra, Lakula Miyamrinan, Safik Ishahu, Ain Isha Mikadesh is Isha. There's no way that a woman can give Kiddushin to a woman and be makler of a truma. We know he's a male. It's talking about his testicles are visible, only his genitals are, his actual penis is covered. So over there, we know that he is, in fact, an oral, the way Abaye is learning. So since he's an oral, he can't eat. But as you said earlier, an oral can be makil, because it's only as if he's got pain in his mouth, so to speak. Right? Tosha, that's an interesting question. That since he cannot have intercourse, he can't have a chuppah. And we who aser until the chuppah, eating truma, how can it be makhil? Which is a very cute question. But Tosha says, you don't call that can't have intercourse. Because he can always cut it, and then you might be okay. So maybe that's the chance. You can't say it's not roi for a chuppah. It's roi, he come out. All right. So now, this is the pshat. So now the whole thing makes a lot more sense. But Rava says, the pshat is, that when it says his wife, doesn't mean his wife, means his women. Nashav means women. The women that would have a right to eat through him, who would have a right to eat through his mother? In other words, if his mother is a Bas Yisrael, who married a Kohen, and this kid's father died, the Tumtum's father died, so the Tumtum is Machil his mother, because either he's a male or a female. What's the difference? Understand? Cheat on him. So obviously, I mean, what's this being a Tumtum have to do with anything? We're not interested in his sex. Any, we said before. Zera Eila, any type of Zera. So what's the problem? So isn't that Pshita? No. Because remember, what was the Makor of learning that the child is Machil? The Makor was, Yelid Beto Hu Yochal Bo. We darshan that, Hu Yachil Bo. Right? But if that's the case, then maybe Yelid, we darshaned earlier, Yelid means Yalmud, he has to actually been born. Maybe Yelid means Molid too. Maybe it means he's capable of having children, which over here is going to be difficult for him to do. So, maybe if he's a tumtum, I would think that he can't feed his mother either. But it's not an issue. Again, it's not an issue. Toshma, Tumtum in Ochel lo betruma velo bekadoshim. So now we have two pshat. Right? According to Abaye, the pshat is that we were talking about a real marriage. How can he have a marriage? His testicles are visible. We know he's a male. Very good. According to Rava, what are we talking about? No. He's a complete tumtum. We have no idea. Maybe a woman. But he's machil his mother in the kedushas, even though he can't be married. Now, that says the Gemara, but the continuation of the Brayse is strongly suggestive of Abaye's pshat. Because there's no other way to explain that redundant piece at the end, where it says, it continues on to say again, tum tum in ochel, which is how you started. And then he repeats, in ochel lo betruma velo bekadoshim. So, according to Abaye, it makes sense, because the first one, where it was beitzav mi bachutz, is a vadai oral. The second one may be not an oral, right? Because we don't know what sex he is. So over there, so maybe we should be mekel. So I need the two chadzulozu avzu. Not only is a suf is a vadai orel not able to eat, but even the suffic orel is not able to eat. Okay, that's a pretty common thing to do in a brayta. So bishleim and abayatani reisha orel vadai v'gatani sefer suffic orel and that's fine. But according to Rava, it doesn't even make any sense. The tumtum of the sefer is completely repetitious. You started the brayta by saying tumtum doesn't eat, but his mother eats. No, and then you say, and a tumtum doesn't eat. To tell me what? Did you ever notice that the word tumtum could just as easily mean oral? It's metumtam, in the sense of being sealed up. So the tumtum over here is simply saying he's an oral. An oral doesn't eat. Oh come on, man! Even the first case, which was a suffic oral, doesn't eat. Obviously, the vadai oral doesn't eat. What vadai oral also? What was the point of repeating something that is obvious? No, it isn't a repetition. It's explaining. It's saying, Matam ka'omar. Why did we say in the ratio that tumtum isn't oichel? Because an oral isn't oichel. Lo betruma velo bekadoshim. Right. Now, lema ketanoim. This is Rashi's.
Is tumtum be rectified or not?
Sure, it's easily rectified. If you have the guts. you just need to cut the skin that's covering. It's medically taken care of easily, yes. So now, the shaila is. And this is Rashi's Raya, that it couldn't have been a Tiyuf the Ravuna, because all of a sudden we come back and say, name it Ketanoi the Ravuna. If a Moshuk is with the Arise of the Rabbanon, we just proved that there's not even a problem to Rabbanon. That's why I changed the gears earlier. But anyway, Leme Ketanoi. Moshuk, someone who is Moshuk. And a Ger Shinit Gayer Kishu Mahul. You have a Ger who already, let's say an Arab becomes a Ger, so he already had a Mila. Or a Kotan. Avar Zaman, it was already past the eighth day. We weren't Malim on time. And Shar Kala Nimulim, any other type of Nimulim, Latiyam Nishyeshul Shtayare, somebody's got two separate foreskins. Now, there's two ways to have two separate foreskins. Here Rashi says two separate foreskins, one on top of the other. Also Rashi says he actually has two penises, which is a little bit strange, but he would need to have another Brit, even though he's Mol. But he's a Brit, but he's Mol. There's another Girsa, you'll notice inside of the brackets, Nolav Kishu Mohu, which is taken out. Why is it taken out? It's a big machlokes. The Nolat Kishumo, see later on, why would he need Atafat Dan Brit? So if the Sfarda needs Atafat Dan Brit, it's because we're chayish for what's called an Orla Kivush Shabbos. There's a Shaila in Shabbos. That the Orla, that what we see to be pure Atara, is actually pressed in skin that was once foreskin, that grew basically onto, and it's indivisible now, unless you actually operate, it grew onto what was previously at the Atar. It looks like his bone. So therefore, according to that, there can't be any other dit. It's a chashash of a regular bris. So you'd have to do it bismano, biyom, and so on and so forth. Therefore, it doesn't belong in this list. Not everybody agrees that they put this in this list. And that all of these, now, these are inonim al biyom, which would be fine, but Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon argues, and he says, Bismano, the only case it requires biyom, is a mila, a regular mila bismano. That requires biyom. But shalom bismano, all these other cases, there's no din of the daytime. You can have a brit in the middle of the night. Nimolim biyom ubalayla. So now, isn't that basically the machlokis? I mean, my lab, okay, it's okay. Mar sovar mashuch is a dioraita. So since it's a dioraita, some of mila, it's limited by the yom. Umar sovar mashuch derabona. What? How could you're learning that that's the machlokas? Come on, the tizbara katan shavers zmano. One of the cases was a child couldn't be nibble on the eighth day. So tell me that's a diraisa. That's not a diraisa. You're telling me that there's somebody who holds Mi'ikalamad Yomer that that's a Drabbanan? I mean, obviously, whenever you're Malam, it's a Diraisa. So the Machlokas can't be whether it's a Diraisa Drabbanan. On that case, so why assume that it's the Machlokas on the Mashuch case, for heaven's sakes? Elu Kuleyam Mashuch Drabbanan. Why should we assume anybody argues on Rabbanan? The whole thing is Drabbanan. And of course, the Katan Shavar's man is the Arisa. So what are they arguing about? They're arguing, what the din in the pasuk Ubayom Hashmini Yimo Besar Latov, whether that is a din Ubayom Hashmini, but when it's not Ubayom Hashmini, then there's no din of Yimo Besar Latov, or whether it's an Ubayom, and we're identifying the Shmini. That's what they're arguing on. So Mar Savar Darshinan Ubayom, the extra vav comes to tell me all cases. They definitely need to be Bayom. Whether it's Shmini or not, so even if it's Shalom Bizbana, Ubayom, make sure it's done during the day. And therefore, even the Moshe, even though it's only Drabbanan, I mean, but whenever the Drabbanan make it Zer, can be Raita. So over here, if the Drabbanan is, he needs meal, so then he needs meal like anybody else needs meal. Then the Raita needs meal of Biyom, so then he'll need meal of Biyom. Umar Sama, what does she know, Ubayom? The other man, the other holds, you don't darshan Ubayom, because we don't darshan that Vav, therefore, it's left with Bayom HaShmini, and only Bayom HaShmini is Bila Bizmano required. We had the same, a very interesting thing, have the same issue by Notar. By Notar, so he darshan like this, that Notar Bizmano is in on this of Ela Bayom. It says, you have the Notar that is on its time, the correct time, meaning the day after, obviously if it was darshan for Pesach, but Tosfos says the day after would be its time, that's a shot, right? That's Litain Boker Sheni. Right, so that we wait Had HaBoker, and then BaBoker Beish Tisarev. Okay, so when does it need to be BaBoker Beish Tisarev? Only if it's the first day now that you can burn it. But once it was already over Zmano, it's been lying around, you find an old piece of notes so you can get around to burning it, you burn it whenever. So it's burnt either B'Yom or B'Layla. So they asked them, Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzer, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, asked Rabbi Yochanan, we have the same drasha over here, and we learn, Eli El Nimal L'Shmini, She'en Nimal El B'Yom. How do you know that no matter when the mila takes place, you always are going to need to do it beyond? Talmud Lomar Ubayom. So now you're tying that to me. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, but there's a machlokas with the darshan vav, and I wasn't going according to that. And no, that doesn't work because afil leman de lo darsh vav. Even if you don't darshan the vav, but a vav and a hey, you definitely darshan over here. It says veha notar mimenu ad boker. So Veha Notar tells me that any time you're burning Notar, whether it's Bizmano or Shalom Bizmano, it has to be during the daytime. So it's exactly the same drasha that we would have by Mila. Boy, he was floored. Ishtik. Didn't have any response to that. So Basid and Nafik, after Rabbi Lazar, walked out. So this is Rabbi Lazar and Padas, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, not to be confused with Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbi Lazar and Shamua, the Tana. But Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, when he walked out of his measure, Rabbi was a little embarrassed. Anyway, so he turns to Rish Lakish, says, good Lord, Ra'itila ben Pedat, you know that kid ben Pedat? The guy is Yoshe Vidurish Kamoshe, he's like, he just completely shut me up. Brilliant, it's amazing. I mean, he darshaned it. What's correct, Kamoshe B'Yagvura? That he darshaned the way that the Tanoim darshan, says Rashi. Because Tanoim darshan from Pesukim Darek. We're used to getting everything from secondary texts. He looked at the Pesuk, he told me, what are you talking about? I thought he just like put me in my place. Rishlag said to him, "What? You think he's such a genius? That wasn't his chiddush. He got that out of a brisa." So Rabbi Yochanan said, "I never heard that brisa. Hey Chatana, where's that brisa?" B'Teras Kayanim. So Nafak Tanya B'Tlata Yomim. Rabbi Yochanan went out, bought himself a copy of the Teras Kayanim, and learned it in 3 days, and used the next 3 months for working it out. The Sover B'Tlata Yomim. So it's like Ligmar Inish Rod Olis, but first you learn. Strangely, the Igeret of Rav Shmuel Gaon brings a riot from there that the Teras Kayanim had not been published yet, or wasn't nafuz. And the Rambam, indeed, said it was Rav who published the Teras Kayanim. He was one that was misadded and put it into its final form, so obviously Rabbi Yochanan hadn't seen it yet. It was a brand new book really, that had just come out. It wasn't nafuz, but now the Rambam brings a sinkhul, and also he says clearly that the Balei HaGemara were not the key in the Sifran Sifri, because it was later. So Rabbi Yochanan was amazed. He said, wow, that's really nice. He went, made sure that he learned the Teras Kayanim. And then it took 3 months to work it out. I mean, obviously, the Yonim and Teras Kayanim had from Masneel ben Kenaz. He had the whole story of, Kiyat Sefer, that he learned the whole Teras Kayanim, he learned the whole Sifra in a winter's day. Winter's day. It's a Benishkari. Okay. Hey, it's very interesting. beautiful, beautiful historical vignette. You know? Sure. Amar Rav Elazar. You should know that an Orel, Shehiza Nazarato Kshera, you should not think that just because an Orel is Osir, and Tav is Osir, and Truman, and Kachim, and so on, but don't think that that passes him for Azoya, even though there's certain dinim that we treat the Paraduma with the Chumra of Kachim, there's no problem, he could do the Azoya. It's no different than a Tfu Yom. Look, a Tfu Yom, and you can tell me, Tfu Yom is Osir and Truma, that's right, he is, but he's Kashar Bapara, as we're going to learn out later. That's all famous machlokas with the tzedukim and everything. So Tzvu Yom is kosher b'parah. So you see that somebody is usher and truma doesn't mean that he can't handle the parah aduma. It's the same thing with an oral. Where does it say an oral can't do the parah aduma? Well, now wait a minute. I mean, a Tzvu Yom, that's because a Tzvu Yom is mutter to eat meiser, but an oral isn't. But who's talking about eating anything? Why are we talking about eating? You're not going to eat the parah aduma, or you're going to touch the parah aduma. You want to talk about that locus here? Look at the dinim of negia. Atanana hila kamrina. Ananla negia amrina. Okay, a b'tfu yom is usher b'negia de truma. He's mutter b'para. An oral is mutter b'negia. Eno densha mutter b'para. That's the way. Now you say it in that way. It works out beautifully. What are you getting confused over here with the, heter b'meiser and so on? Well, that's a dinim nachila. Tanya Nami Hochi, Orel Sheiza, Azatok Shira. Says Beferish in a Bryce, exactly what Rabbi Elazar said. If an Orel does Azoya, it's a kosher Azoya, and in fact, Maaseya Bechira Kokonim Azata. Halu Machir, Halokal Maisa, Azoya and Orel. Mason. Tum Tum Shekidesh, Kidusho Pasul, Bibnechu Sofik Orel, Va Orel Pasul, the Kadesh. Now, over here it says that, forget about a Vadai Orel, even a Tum Tum who does the Kiddush, which means that he mixes the Ephra Pora into the May, the Mayim Chayim, to create the Meinida for Hazoya on a tummy. So he, even though he's only a Sofik Oral, but since he's a Sofik Oral, and an Oral Vada is Pasul Lakadesh, an Androgynous who is not an Oral, his Kiddush is Kosher of the Mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even an Androgynous Kiddush Kiddush Absul, because in his age he's a Sofik Isha. Separate problem, not he's an Oral, but he is a Sofik Isha, and an Isha is Psulam and Lakadesh. But anyway, getting the point, the main point over here is Katanimia. Oral, the Sufik Oral, plus I'm not Kaddish. What are you coming to tell me that there's no problem of Kiddush and an Oral? Om Rabbi Yosef. That's going according to Rabbi Akiva. Remember, Rabbi Akiva was the one who 2 days ago gave us the drasha that ish is marba an Oral for a tummy, for all din. So wherever it says a tummy mamish can't do something, an Oral can't do something. So over here, if he's mamish tummy, and over there it's ish ki yetz a ruah the Sufik, that's real Duma. He can't do the parah Duma. So then Rabbi Akiva would hold the same thing is true of an Oral. Amar Rava, have you seen the Kamei Rabbi Yosef? I was sitting in front of Rabbi Yosef when I heard this, and this answer about Rabbi Akiva, and you know, it really bothered me, because I'm thinking to myself, all over Shas, I don't remember one place where it says, Ha'oral v'ha'tamei, as if they're the same thing. Why is it that we don't find any Mishnah that teaches us halacha like Rabbi Akiva? So we list the Pesulim, and should list Oral and Tamei together. I'm very suspicious of this. I think that when Rabbi Akiva Darsh and Ish wasn't across the board to give him din of Tomei, if a Tomei can't do the parah aduma, he can't do the parah aduma. I don't believe it. It was a specific din that it was bringing, only in context, not all over. So I asked him, bothered me, Lo Mishtami Tana, how is it that Tana never manages to get around anywhere to say the words, Orova Tomei, which would at least preserve Rabbi Akiva Sheet? Well, I'm Rabbi Akiva. He says, well, what do you mean? Of course there certainly is such a statement. Well, Katani Ha'arov HaTami Pturim in Ariya. We just had it back in Chagiga. So there you have Arov. That's not because of Tuma. That's because HaTami Shem Demoyis over there, even the Rabbana would be made in the argument of the Akiva. Never learn Arov as Katami. That's not going like with the Akiva before. That's a din. That's someone, it's just inappropriate that he should be coming into the Beis HaMikdash. That's one approach. Tosfos takes the other approach is, and maybe that's the only time that I agree that Rabbi Akiva would be based if Oral could tell me because of the Moses. But I'm asking you, just stop and then ask Tuma. Show me a place where we talk about Rabbi Akiva Shita like that. So now getting back to the Machlokas over here between Rabbi Yehuda, who says the Androgynous cannot be Mekadesh because he's a Suffolk Isha, and an Isha is Psula, and the Tanakama, who says just the opposite, that actually there's no problem of an Isha. That is indeed l'shitatam, Tanya. A kov sherim l'kadesh, which v'cher shet l'kadesh. So the Tanakhama says, anybody can do the Kiddush of the Mayim, except for cher shet l'kadesh. Anybody means a woman can do the Kiddush. Rabbi Yehuda says, Now, on the contrary, the katan can do it, but the isha cannot do it. So, pasuk bishur ban drog. It's my time. You'll notice that there's two psukim in a row. First is v'yasaf ish tahor. It goes to, we know that the ish tahor, but it's from v'yasaf. And over there says ish tahor. We have a number of drushas over there that we learn out that is marba certain manda, certain people, and motzi other people. So we learn out over there that whoever is kosher for the asifa, so it continues on to say, and then v'lakhul, they're the same people. So whoever can do the asifa of the efer can now do the v'lakhul atamim, yafasri fatachatat, and they benatan alav mayim chayim al kewi. So it's the same man, right? So whoever is possible an asifa, over there we learn that it has to be an ish. That means it can't be a katan. But we have a ribui for a woman. So over there, there we dash, v'asaf ish v'lo katan, and then why does it stress again tahor? Unnecessarily is marva a woman. Okay, so therefore I say the same thing is true when it comes to putting the afer into the mind. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yeromelecha, im kein, if that were true, why wouldn't the pasuk say, v'lakach latamei me'afar? What's this v'lakhu? You start off saying, v'asaf ish tahor, is that l'shon yachid, v'as l'shon yachid you can get. Then you go on the very next pasuk, you say, v'lakhu, now how could that be referring back to the same thing? That's crazy. Obviously, if you now turn it into Lashon Rabbi, you're now expanding the envelope a little bit over here, right? So the people that were previously puzzled, I agree with you. The Kotan was puzzled for Asif. The people that were previously puzzled, they're now kosher. That's what I'm saying. The Kotan is kosher. So wait a second, review that. The Kotan is kosher. You're saying, Hanach the Psulim Asim Achirim Acha, but the woman for sure was even kosher even over there. So how did you come all of a sudden to say that the woman should be puzzled? Oh, that's because it says over here, v'natan alav mayim chayim al keli. And the v'natan is unnecessary. Since it's over here, it should just say, v'lakhu v'afas v'fat achatat al mayim chayim. So the v'natan is now, notice, strange because it turns back to Lashon Yachid. So we have the asaf, v'lakhu v'natan. So the asaf is not a kata. V'lakhu is, yes, a kata. V'natan is v'lo v'natna. That's once again limiting it to Lashon Yachid. Here it's Lashon Yachid in terms of the sexes, not in terms of the age. That's how I learned it. So therefore, they said the Rabbanan, wait, that's because we have no choice. That's the point. See? Because, look, if it would have said V'lakach V'natan, so then it would have been consistent in terms of Lashon Yachid. But it would have been very misleading. Why? Because if it would have said that, I would have thought that that means that Shokil Chad V'yoiv Chad. You need to have one person taking the afer and another person mixing the afer. And therefore, Kazar Rahmana Velakhu, therefore, it says over here that the idea is Velakhu. On the other hand, if it said Velakhu Vinatnu, I would have thought that two people would have to take it. Velakhu Vinatnu. So two people would have to take it, and two people would have to go ahead and do the mixing. Therefore, we take now Velakhu Vinatan. To say, look, it doesn't have to be the same guy. Two people could have done that. One person could do that. It's not related. That's all. And how do we know the halakha continues now? The right of Iza ator latamei. That lashon of Iza, we had the asaf, we had the velakach, and we had the vinatan. I'm not being medayek in the rabim and yofi, just the stages, right? So we had the saraf and the velakach saraf and the asaf and the lakach and the natan, and then we have the v'iza. Why does it say over there, ha-tahor again? Because obviously it has to be tahor. It already compared it. It said it was tahor. It says it pours like a chatas. So why is it the Torah calls it a chatas? Why would it stress tahor? If it stresses tahor, it's telling me that he's tameh. Meaning, I'm expanding my definition of tahor. Any tahor is sufficient. In other words, even though he's a tuyom, he already went to the mikvah, but he's tahor. It's not completely tahor. Then I wouldn't have had to say anything. So I'm telling you that a stage of tahara is sufficient. He went to the mikvah. Now, from here, we learn that it's kosher b'tfulyon. So, mikhlal shirutame, limeida teaches us, al tfulyon, shekasher b'parah. So now we have, basically, that whole interlude, the parah interlude now, at an end.